Welcome to Martha Runs the World, a podcast about running, fitness, and all things health related. I'm Martha Hughes, your host, and each week I'll introduce a new episode that is of interest to all runners. Hi, and welcome to episode 271 of Martha Runs the World. Thank you so much for joining me. I always appreciate it, every week. I have a guest this week. My special guest is a runner, he's a writer, and he just released a book all about his running history, his running adventures, and why he loves running so much. His name is Stephen, or SB Stone, as he's known on his book. His book is called Run Through, My Journey Through Moments of Flight. Oh, and please, after the interview, stick around because I have a few comments and a few words about some really cool things that happened this week and stuff that's going on in my life. So, will you please welcome to the show, Stephen, or SB Stone? Will you welcome to the show? He is a runner. He's an author. He just wrote this book, Run Through My Thought, My Journey Through Moments of Flight. Stephen, or SB Stone. Hi, Stephen. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Hi, Martha. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much. What does Run Through mean to you?
Yeah, so Run Through is sort of a mantra that I adopted a few years back, and it's really become a mindset for me. And honestly, what it's done is it's helped me persevere really through certain situations. So a few different angles that I look at Run Through, and you'll see it throughout the book, is on the surface level. It's really about the physical running, right? You run through a race, you run through a training, you run through a normal, easy run, right? You run through. You don't want to necessarily stop constantly. You don't want to necessarily, think of it as just running, but you're running through your whatever purpose. But then deeper, as I went through my training a couple years ago and really thought about what run through meant, on a deeper level, it's more of running through life and the different challenges that present themselves and good opportunities as well. So if you think of running through a tunnel, right, where they say there's a light at the end of the tunnel, my goal is to run through that light that's at the end of the tunnel, because there's always something on the other side, right? So I don't want to run to that light. I want to get through that light. I'm also not running from my past anymore. Right now I'm embracing my past and letting it continue to mold me and continue to shape me. You can kind of see that progress throughout the book as well. Through the different chapters is, you know, running. I started, you know, running from some of my stories in my past, right. Running from certain things and then kind of evolved into running through my journeys and embracing life, embracing things that are happening around me. And instead of them happening to me, I ran with them and I ran through and ultimately ran through my first marathon.
Do you enjoy the training or the race more?
I enjoy the training, to be honest. I love the race. Don't get me wrong. I absolutely love the race. It's exhilarating. The crowd is a certain level of energy. But this kind of goes hand in hand with the run through as well. But in all honesty, the majority of my learning and development and just things I pick up happen throughout the training, right? And then the training is the longest piece. I heard a saying a year or two ago that they said, like, if you sit back and think about it, the majority of your miles run throughout a year are during training, like not during the race, not during, you know, the 26 miles or 13 miles or whatever it might be. But during the year, during your training, most of those miles are going to be either by yourself or with your running group, or be slow miles or be easy miles or fast miles in certain situations. So that there's just a range of different challenges that come with the training and different things to learn, different lessons that you can learn. And the process really has molded me and shaped me as a runner. I think I say it in the book as well, like it's become my therapy. Like, and I'm out there and running like that. And that's during the training, like during my training runs. And I absolutely love it. I love the training aspect of it for sure.
It is the journey, not the destination. Then.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly it.
Yeah, that is for me too. I get so nervous at races. I mean, I like the race once it starts, but just the nervousness I feel before a race and at the beginning is kind of unpleasant.
It is.
I know.
I agree with that 100%. Like the pre-race jitters are real.
Oh my gosh. And no one ever gets any sleep the night before a race.
No.
Try to get sleep. Who gets sleep? How? Exactly.
Yes. No, I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. I mean, you can wake up for a normal easy run on a Saturday morning and you wake up and go, right? You wake up, you get your fuel, you go.
Yeah.
And race day is complete. There's so much adrenaline pumping, which I think is the, you know, one of the joys of race day. It's like that adrenaline, energy and like everything. But you're right. Like you can't focus on anything else. Like you've worked so hard to get up to this point and then the race happens.
Exactly. And then all of a sudden it's over and you said, hey, I did okay. All right.
That's right.
That was fun. Let's do it again.
That's right. But the thing is that when you say, and this is the case with me, at least this year, I ran my first marathon last year. And before the marathon, I told myself I would never run another marathon. I said, I'm going to do one and that's it. But then after I finished it, I reflected and I said, you know, maybe I'll do another one, at least another one. And I think what brought me to your point, what brought me to do another one is the whole year leading up to it, right? Because I trained for 10 months or something leading up to my marathon last year. Mm-hmm. And that training, when I look back on, like, that's what I'm excited about and what I'm looking forward to. Mm-hmm. So that's exactly it. That's exactly it.
It is. It really is. So when did you first decide you wanted to write a book?
So it's a funny story. I actually spent probably the last 5 years telling my wife that she should write a book, because her journey is just extraordinary. Like, when you read it and you look through some of the things that she's gone through, and she's lost both of her parents, and she's young. She's 33 years old, and she's lost both of her parents, and she's gone through medical things and health issues and just life in some cases, right? It felt like life is happening at her, like, you know, everything's being thrown at her. And I told her, and I've told her for years now, like, you should write a book because your story is very powerful. You've made it through a whole lot. Like, you've made it through so much stuff. Mm-hmm. And she's always told me, she's like, I'm not going to write a book. I'm never going to write. Well, why would I write a book? Like, I have no desire to do that. So then, you know, it was actually on a run when I was thinking about it. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I should stop pressuring her. And I continued to think a little bit during the run. I'm like, you know, maybe I should write the book. And it was last year, January. And I thought about, you know, maybe I should just write down my perspective of not just her journey, but also my journey and how it's led up to the things that I've learned from her. Mm-hmm. Which is a very common theme in my journey is, you know, I've learned a lot from my wife, whether she knows or not. She's taught me a ton of life lessons and primarily empathy. she's taught me that. So about last year January, I decided, you know, instead of from her perspective writing a story and trying to inspire others, let me write it down, see if I can make something of it, and just tell our story and tell my perspective of what I see. And she was all for it. She said, yes, absolutely do it. I think that's a fantastic idea. And then it took me about 10 months to write the whole thing, just in pieces, you know, after putting our daughter to sleep or in the morning or whatever, write it down. And here we are. Now it's out there. It's out there.
She's very inspiring though. I mean, just a very inspirational story there.
She is. She absolutely is. And I tell her that constantly. And I mean, she's dealt with so much and so much more than any human being should have by the age of 33. And she keeps going. She has like such a huge smile on her face. Like anybody that's ever met her will say that, like she's always smiling and she's always like spreading, you know, positive energy. And yeah, she's a huge inspiration to my journey.
That's- That's wonderful. That is truly wonderful. What do you think about when you're running?
Everything. Everything. Like, I think about how tall the grass is over there. I think about the car that just drove by me. I think about my shoes are tied to the... I don't know. Like, I've tried, that's something that I've tried to focus on. Like, I read this book last year. I can't remember the name of it, but throughout the book, they talk about, you know, in order to increase your performance, like, try to think about your body's function during your run. I tried that for a little bit, and honestly, like, I just can't, like, I can't focus. I try, but now I do. I have gotten good about focusing on my cadence, right? So, like, the, like, thinking of the steps, like, 1, 2, 3, one,
yeah.
How quickly I'm actually moving my feet, but then eventually that goes away. So I listen to podcasts on my run. I listen to audiobooks, a lot of audiobooks on my runs, music every now and then, you know, if it's a shorter run, typically I listen to music. Something to keep my mind occupied, I think.
Yeah.
If I start focusing on every single, like, blade of grass that I run by, the run becomes so much longer.
Oh yeah. Or what you're going to have for lunch. Let's see. What am I going to have when I'm done?
Right. That's exactly it.
I had this race once, and it was such a hard race, and it was a trail race. And all I could think about was I was going to have pancakes and bacon afterwards. And that's all I could think about the whole race. Pancakes and bacon. It was and bacon.
Yeah.
Got me through.
It gets you through. That's something that I've learned how to deal with a little bit recently, is that I've done a few races where, you know, you can't have headphones in. And I'm so used to having headphones in, just listening to something, whether it's, you know, music or podcasts or audiobooks or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've had to train myself to not do that sometimes. Mm-hmm. I don't not listen to audio very often, but like when I'm truly preparing for a race, you know, I try to do that and just focusing. And that's when I have to focus on my breathing and focus on the
team.
What's going on around me.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough
for
me, at least. Like, it's
true.
It's tough.
If you're in a beautiful area, like a park or out on a trail or somewhere where you're not in the middle of a city, it's pretty easy because you can listen to the birds and you can listen to the wind in the trees. And I love the sound of footsteps on a trail, on a dirt trail. But in a city, you got to have headphones because it's just so noisy. And especially with all the sound of the cars and all that people talking. And so I don't want to hear that. But you know, it's like,
that's right.
I mean, you get stuck in some races. You just get stuck people who just chatter the whole time. It's like, I don't want to hear you complaining about your husband. Just shut
right.
Up, you know?
Right. Meanwhile, I'm over here trying to continue breathing and catch my breath and they have a whole conversation.
I know. Exactly. It's like,
Yep.
Exactly. Right. So what's your favorite distance to race?
We'll be right back.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we're the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
I was actually talking to my wife about this recently. So I love the 5K.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the caveat is that I haven't, thinking back on it, I haven't actually raced a 5K in probably 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. Like, since I started doing 10Ks and half marathons and then marathon, like, I stuck with half marathons, like for probably 2 or 3 years. Like, I did nothing but half marathon races. And I never thought to do like a true 5K race, like in between that time. But looking back on it, like, I miss it. And I signed up for one for this year in, I think, May. So I'm curious to see what my time would be now that I've been doing the longer distances, the half marathon or marathon, to see if I've truly improved like my race, everybody else around. I feel like I have, but I guess we'll see. But yeah, I love the 5K. I love 5K. It's just very, I think the energy around a 5K as well is palpable typically.
They're hard. 5K is hard.
Yeah,
I just don't go fast, and 5Ks are really hard.
I know, and that's the problem, is that you see some people going out the gate like sprinting. I'm like, I don't want to do that because 5K is not easy. It's not an easy.
The speedy stuff is like, oh, I don't know.
No, I'm not at the front of the pack by any means.
We have so many fast. I live in San Francisco, and we have so many fast runners here, and we have fast. A lot of older fast runners, you know, ex-Olympians and stuff, who you know, they're in their 70s and they can do 8-minute miles and
oh my goodness, around.
I know.
Oh man,
geez, you know, yeah, they're still fast. It's like my
I love that. Like to me, that's motivation. Like when you're at a race, even and you see like an 80-year-old just passed you, and it's like, yeah, like that's what I want to be when I'm 80. Like
I
want to be an
80-year-old. I know. They're very inspirational, though. To see people, and I'm in my 60s, but to see people, you know, older than I am, who just are really cooking it, I think that's great. I love that.
I love it.
Yeah,
love
me it. Too. So, are you training for anything right now?
I'm gonna start in 2 weeks. Two weeks. I start my training for my marathon, for the marathon this year. This year, I am planning to do the Detroit. Press marathon again, which is the one I did last year.
Nice.
I loved it. Like that marathon is unique. It's not a super popular marathon necessarily. It's big, but it's not like it's not Boston, right? It's not New York.
Yeah.
But it's so cool because it goes, the first cool piece about it is that it goes across the bridge to Canada.
Oh yeah, that's cool.
The Ambassador Bridge, and you run in Canada for a few miles, which is crazy. Like 7 o'clock in the morning. And all these people from Canada, like hanging out on their sidewalks and porches, cheering you on. And then you run through a tunnel to get back over to Detroit.
Nice.
And then by then, I think you're at like mile 7 or 8. Mm-hmm. And then you finish it inside of the U.S., inside Detroit. Throughout that entire race, it was just so energetic everywhere. It's just energy around, whether it's in Detroit, whether it's in Canada. Wherever it was, like everybody was just cheering so loudly, and it was a blast. Like that was a blast.
How fun! I know I've heard about that race by a few people. It just sounds like a blast. Like
I love it. I love it. Yeah, I do. And I've got friends that are running it with me. So
cool.
That helps. That definitely helps. And we were deciding between doing a different one. You know, maybe trying for New York or Chicago or whatever, but. You know, we landed back on Detroit. Like it's just calling us. It's the way to go.
When is the race?
I want to say it's in September. From what I recall, it's September, which my training is going to start pretty soon, and then I'll train for the majority of the year. And do a couple different training plans, and hopefully be ready.
Cool, very cool. So, did you find any inspiration in other books before you wrote yours?
I did. Quite a few books actually. So one, trying to remember the name of it. So one is actually a book that one of my friends published that is not like a top seller or whatever. But I got inspiration to even just write a book from that book, and I can't remember the name of it, to be honest. I think it's called Mothers and Myths or something. But it has nothing to do with running. But the reason that it was inspirational to me was because like he wrote it. Like I know somebody that published a book. Like
nice.
I know
this
guy, and he wrote this book. So I talked to him about it back then when he released it a couple years ago, and he told me the whole journey go through and all that. So on the surface level, that was that was huge for me. Just knowing that it's feasible, right? It's possible to write and publish a book. And then I just started writing, and then, different memoirs that I've read and listened to. I know everybody's big on David Goggins. I've listened on runs, like listened to a couple of his books. Just all kinds of different stories and a lot of podcasts that have motivated me to get my story there too. So yeah, a lot of different sources.
So you talk about some dumb decisions you made as far as running goes. What's the dumbest decision you ever made as far as running goes? We'll just stick to running.
we just stick to running. I'll narrow it down a little bit. That's a good
point. I know it'd be a really long show if we talked about both decisions as far as life goes. Right. But okay, we'll stick to running.
There's plenty. So one that stands out, I think there's a chapter in there about my first, when I was in high school, my very first 400 meter relay, my only actually 400 meter, not relay, my very only 400 meter race that I did. I ran track in high school and I mostly did sprints. So I did short distances, 100 meters, 200 meters and whatever else. So my coach put me in for 400 and he, and the reason I say this is my dumbest decision was because they told me not to do it and I did it anyway. So he put me in for the 400 and, you know, I was excited. I'm like, you know, this is going to be my race now. Like this is it. Like I'm just going to kill it at this. And this is going to be my thing. Cause nobody else wants to run the 400. So why not? Like, why can't this be mine? And I was getting, you know, second to last, third to last place in all my other races. Like I wasn't fast. I wasn't super fast. So I get to the 400 and just right out of the gate, like at first I heard my coach saying, you know, take it easy at the start and then pick it up as you go, right? You know, starts because the 400, for those that don't know, is one lap around the track, around a typical track. So take, you know, the first 200 meters or whatever, you know, kind of get into your pace, settle in, you know, then start picking it up. I'm like, okay, whatever, that's fine. You know, I'm not listening. I'm a, you know, 16, 17 year old kid. Like, yeah. You know, I'll do what I want. So I start out at 100%. So right out of the gate, like I start sprinting and just go. I book it. Like I go so fast from what I remember. Like I went so, and I was passing everybody. I see everybody, like I'm passing by. I'm like, okay, this is easy. Like, what is he talking about? Why would I slow down? And like, as I'm running on the back half of the track, I can see him in my coach in the field, like trying to run next to me, like saying, slow down, slow down. I'm like, why? I'm like, why would I slow down? So we probably had 200 meters left in the race and I hit a brick wall like crazy. Like I got to the last curve and all of a sudden I see people start passing me. Like, I don't know what's going on. My legs stopped working. And like the last 100 meters, like I almost walked. I may as well just walk. Like it was rough. So I learned my lesson. My coach never put me in for another 400. I learned my lesson, but recently actually, to kind of add on to a dumb story, actually a few days ago, I learned a lesson by running with my daughter in non-running shoes, and I can't see that. Yeah, so I was running in like sandals.
That's
and I gave myself I like pinched my sciatic nerve. So I'm decision number two. So now I'm recovering from that. But yeah, it's all learning. It's learning experience.
Oh yeah. Especially when you're young, you think you're invincible and can do anything.
That's right. That's right. You think so. not quite.
Well, I hated running so much in high school. I was on the swim team, so I didn't do any running. It's like, no, yeah. I'll swim.
Yep. I actually did. So I didn't like running either. The only reason I joined, a few reasons. One for the social aspect, but also because I loved basketball. I was big into basketball, and my I didn't make the team when I tried out. And the coach at the time was like, "You need to learn how to control your running better, and then maybe you'll make the team next time." So I went into running, and I've never truly stopped since. So it's become a part of me.
So I have one final question for you that I like to ask all my guests: if you could run any race anywhere in the world, regardless of entry or cost or travel or anywhere, what race would you like to run?
Wow, that's a good question. Probably Tokyo.
Oh, nice.
I want to run Tokyo. And the reason I say it is because it's fresh in my mind. Like, I just saw some posts about it recently. Yeah. But it just looks like, again, so much energy and so much, like, just such a fun stage to be on, like running that race, and so many like big runners that are running there, right? Like so many top names and folks that you can learn from and just watch, just be around, like soak up the energy. I think it'll be fantastic. Like I would love to run Tokyo one day.
Yeah, that's a great choice. It'd be fun anyway to travel there.
It would. I've never been.
Me neither.
But yeah, I that's been on my bucket list just to go there, even if it's not running. But like, I think now that you asked me that, like, yeah, I would love to run Tokyo.
Oh yeah. Run the race and make a food journey all across.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's how I like to travel. Definitely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it. And best of luck to all your races and your book. And it's run through my journey through moments of flight. I love that very, very much.
Thank you. And
have a wonderful running year and good luck on everything.
Thank you, Martha. Thank you for having me. And I appreciate you.
Very good. All right. Take care.
Thank you so much, Stephen, for being on the show. His book is called Run Through My Journey Through Moments of Flight. And if you're looking for the author's name, he uses the name S.B. Stone. Okay, a really cool thing happened this past week. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about the Barkley Marathons. Well, that did happen. And for the first time in history, there were actually three firsts. First time in history, five finishers. Never before had that many people finished. Five finishers. And for the first time in history, a female finisher. That's right. So let's talk about all five finishers. Ukrainian Ihor Veris finished first. America's John Kelly and Jared Campbell finished second and third. Greg Hamilton from New Zealand finished fourth. And Britain's Jasmine Paris came in fifth. And she came in fifth with like less than a minute to spare. There were seconds on the clock and she actually finished. Yes, she came in. So we have our first female finisher. Now, those are the two of the things that happened for the first time. The third thing that happened for the first time is that Jared Campbell, who's the king of Barkley, he's beaten Barkley four times. No one else has finished Barkley four times. So there's three things that happened this year. Five finishers, the first female finisher, and Jared Campbell finishing Barkley four times. Incredible. Now, if you're familiar with Laz and Barkley, you know what this means. Next year is going to be extra, extra tough. So we'll see if the runners will win or if the race will win next year. Okay, my week of running was really good. It was very strong. Over the weekend, I got two really strong runs in of a little less than 4 miles each. But for me, that's really, really good progress. I'm very happy with it. I was planning on going up to the Headlands Trail where I fell and walk on the spot where I fell just to get over it and just to be able to move forward. But I found I couldn't do that. I'm not ready. And I think that has something to do with my PTSD. I'm still kind of suffering a little bit from it. I made a YouTube video of it, and that's on my YouTube channel. So yes, I do have a YouTube channel. It's Martha Runs the World Podcast. Martha Hughes is the name of it. So if you want to go to the YouTube, I'll put a link for my YouTube channel there, and you can check it out. I think the video is a little bit more than 2 minutes long, so you can check it out. I also plan to do a future episode about PTSD and about suffering from PTSD, from things that happen to you on the trail, or things that might trigger your PTSD if you're on the trail. So we'll check that out in an upcoming episode. Yeah, I think I'll be able to do it in the next couple weeks. I just have to take my ear. I just have to listen to myself. When I'm ready, I'll do it. I can't hurry this. This is something that has to take time. It's going to require patience. And I'm not a patient person. So this is going to really, really test me. But I'll get there. I really, really will. All right. So that is it. Thank you. So the website is MarthaRunsTheWorld.com. And my email is martharunstheworld@gmail.com. So until next week, let's tie up our shoelaces and go for a run.